Good to be in God's house. Amen. I'll set these notes over here. How many of you have a Bible? Say amen. Amen. I got one. I'm not afraid to use it. I mentioned this morning, I finally got my new glasses, and I can read out of my old Bible now, and I'm happy about that. But I look at my iPad now, and it looks like this. Yeah. So I'm reading out of my eye bowl. That's what I'm doing. Take your Bibles, turn to two places this morning. I didn't have a chance to print my notes out this morning, so I'm just going to look at them on here. Genesis chapter 3, if you would, turn there, please. Genesis chapter 3, and then we'll be in Matthew 27, Mark 4, 2 Corinthians 12. No, I'll tell you where we're going to go. We'll do it one step at a time, all right? Matthew chapter 3. Do you believe the Bible is the inspired word of God? Say amen. And I'm not going to stand up here and interpret it for you, because I'll get it wrong. We're going to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Amen. And again, I want to stress to you, if you came here this morning hoping Mike Hoggard would say something cool, don't do that. Okay? Because I don't have anything. And so you come knocking on my door 3 o'clock in the morning saying, man, we're on a long journey. We're hungry. You got any food? I'm going to say, no, I don't have anything, but I know who does. And I'm going to go to my neighbor. And I'm going to ask him, would he rise and give us bread? And he will. Amen. Might have to ask him more than once, but he will. And so anyway, this is going to come from the Lord. This actually was talking with these guys Wednesday night, and they said something, and I said, you know, I ought to preach that. Well, I prayed about it, and God's given me grace to preach it this morning. It's something I've talked about before, and in fact, I've actually made a DVD on it, but I may just take it in a little bit different light for us this morning, and I may just do more teaching than I do preaching, and I'm just going to let God bring about the results in your life. But I want it to be a help. And I want it to be an encouragement. I want it to be an admonition to you. And I want it to be a reproof to you. And maybe in a situation in your life, I want it to be a correction to you. Because none of us here are above correction. Not a one of us. Not me. Not anybody. We're not above godly correction. When God corrects us, it's because we need it. We're just getting out of the way. And God always has a way of bringing us back, and I love him for that. And so maybe this will be a way of correction in your life, or just a help of some kind, of some way. Because one of the things that God has helped me with in my life was an understanding that I'm saved by his grace and not by my works. Now, that does not exclude me from trying to do what I can. I'm here now. Right here, right now, doing this, not because I have to. I'm doing this because I want to. I'm serving God first. Then I'll serve you guys. Okay? And that's how I want it. I'm doing it because I'm a free servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. He set me free. According to the law, he set me free and said, go do whatever. I came back to him. And I said, you know what? I'm going to serve you. I like you. God has taken good care of me. And so I'm here this morning because of him and because of what he's done. And God has helped me with issues in my life and things in my life that for years I struggled with, didn't have any understanding. And I thought that as a Christian, we all had to be perfect, and I want to be. I cannot begin to tell you how bad I want to be totally right with God all the time. It doesn't happen that way with me. And I hope you don't mind me being honest. Okay? And I do that for several reasons. Number one, I don't want anybody to put me up on a pedestal, because that's not where I belong. Number two, I want you to know that just because God calls somebody to preach, that does not make him a better person than anybody else. Okay? In fact, I can show you in the Bible where God chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And buddy, he found one in me. Okay? So I want it to be a blessing to you and understand that we're all, if we're fellowshipping, that means we're all in the same ship together. Amen? All in the same ship together. You there in your Bible, Genesis chapter 3. Let me start reading in verse 15. Here's what the Bible said. This is God dealing with the serpent and with Adam and Eve after their sin in the Garden of Eden. And by the way, if that would have been you and your wife, it would have happened the same way. Yeah. Would have been done the same way. They weren't any worse than you and I are. Okay, that's just humanity. That's how God made us, all right? Verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Verse 16, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Is the Bible right so far? You ladies that have had children, amen? It's true. You not only are in sorrow during the birthing process, but you got years after that one. Amen, mamas? You got long years of sorrow after that. I mean, amen. I mean, that's just how it is, but God will give us grace. In sorrows thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. Some guy tried desperately to tell me that was wrong in the King James Bible. I mean, he kept trying hard to tell me. Now, in the original Hebrew, he kept doing that over and over. And I said, you know what? I'm done. The Bible's right. The Bible's right. Amen. And the Bible's right when it says, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. Okay? That's exactly how it is. Okay? Don't try to contradict the Bible with your feminism. Amen. Don't try to contradict what God, and by the way, there's a blessing to that. And you know, I'm going to tell you who the woman is. The woman is this church right here. And our desire is to our husband. Amen. So get your feminism out. Amen. I only heard males say an amen to that. Thy desire shall be to thy husband and he shall rule over thee. Amen. See, we're the wife. Let's let the husband rule over us. Amen. Let's not be little Jezebels and try to tell Jesus how it's going to be. Amen. In verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And anybody that's worked a job knows that's exactly how it is. Work is work. And I believe in hard work. And I believe you ought not try to dodge hard work. Amen? The greatest thing that the older men in this church can teach to the younger boys in this church is how to go out and do a day's hard work. Amen? How to go out and sweat and thirst and be hot and be cold and be miserable and hate it. Amen? Then you're a man. Amen? All right. Turn the stupid video games off. Amen? Yeah. And sorrow shalt they eat of it all the days of thy life. And then verse 18, you should look at what the Bible says. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And I want you to notice that God put a curse, first of all, upon the woman. And he put a curse upon the man. And the curse upon the man was he'd go out and plant his field and make those nice rows and put all that seed very carefully in the ground and cover it up and wait for the rains and this and that and the other and turn around and watch what he worked and sweated and toiled over. Watch as thorns and thistles came up out of that ground. And he did not plant those there. Okay? He did not invite them, but they just show up. How many of you understand that language? Say amen. I mean, that's how it is. Okay? You go out and you work in your garden or you try to have a nice yard. And I want to tell you, it's harder to make the nice grass grow than it is the crab grass. Crab grass will just show up and the Johnson grass and everything, that stuff, and it's no good. It's hard to get that good zoysia to spread out like we want it to. Amen? It's hard to do that, and it takes work. But the nasty stuff and the thistles and everything, they just show up naturally. And I want to tell you something. Get out of your self-righteousness when you think that you are better than everybody else. I want to tell you something. Sin will show up easy in you. It shows up easy in us. And that's what this is a picture of. This is where I'm going this morning. And I want you to pray that I just kind of follow the Lord this morning and mind the Lord. But I want you to notice that thorns now are, God's given us a symbol to look at. Thorns are a picture of sin. They're a picture of the curse of sin. And I want you to think of things in the Bible. Thorns, and we call them, I mentioned this in Sunday school, we call them sticker bushes. Okay, we'd run down and play in the woods. I don't like it. Stay away from them. We'd play war in the woods all the time. We'd take our BB guns and take the cylinders out of it so it didn't have, couldn't shoot any BBs, but we'd cock it and it'd have air in it. Pew! It'd make a sound. So we'd go out in the woods and play war. And every now and then, in trying to hide, you was on the run in the woods, and inevitably you got into a place, amen, and you went, ah! You gave up your position right then. Okay? That's no good. Okay? But thorns, think of things that sting. Thorns and bees. Bees that God said, I'll chase you as bees. Scorpions and snake bites and thorns sting. So think of things that sting and think of what the Bible says about the sting of death. The sting of death. And what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 15, the sting of death is? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Okay? And so the law that God gave actually just confirmed that we were already sinners. And it's going to kill us. Our sin will kill us. Okay? Your sin is what killed your marriage. If you've already been in one marriage and come out of it and you're in another one, it was sin that killed off your first marriage. Okay? It's sin that's killed off your kids. It's sin that's killed off every good thing that you try to have in life. It's sin that's killing it off. It stings, it hurts. It's no good, and that's just how it is. And if we brought it on ourselves. This is the curse that God, this is the curse now that God has laid against us because we're sinners. So that's what that thorn is. Now take your Bible, turn to Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. I'm just kind of in one of these. I may just read scripture and let the scriptures say what they're going to say. Matthew chapter 27, verse 29. Hurry up, you're going to make me late now. Lisa and I are going to go to Oklahoma City. And, boy, I don't like to even say what we're doing. It's just not my nature. But we're going to go out there, and there's a ministry out there that's going to put me on TV. And it ain't like I'm afraid of cameras or nothing. but it's just an opportunity. I think the Lord's bringing across. And I'm praying that about every three words I say, I'm going to say, King James Bible, King James Bible, King James Bible. Okay? But you pray for us and pray that God will help us, all right? And pray that God will get all the glory and all the credit. Amen? Matthew chapter 27, verse 29. Are you there? Say amen. And when they had platted a crown of thorns. Now, I look up words because words, I didn't look at the original Greek because I believe the translators got it right. Okay? The word plat, and I just sat in amazement when I looked at this. It means they took thorn branches and they intertwined them around each other. And that crown of, I'm going to tell you something, that crown of thorns looked exactly like the DNA strand. I mean, it did. You stop me. When the word plat literally means they wove them and wrapped them around one another. And they put that on his head. So let me tell you something about you that I know from this Bible. You were born a sinner. You were born a sinner. I had a liberal English teacher when I was in high school who went to church in this town. And she was a liberal. She was into transcendentalism and all this stuff. And she said, I just don't believe that little babies are evil. I think that people learn how to do evil things. She talked just like that. I just believe children are taught how to do evil things. I'm going, no, nobody had to teach me nothing. I figured it out on my own. Amen? Amen. Okay? You're born a sinner. And when you're born, you're cursed. You are cursed as soon as you're born. Okay? Now, God's got a remedy for that curse, and that remedy is right here. Because that's why they took that crown of thorns, and they platted that, and they put that on his head. Okay? And they put a reed in his hand. You know what a reed was for? It was a rod. Okay? They thought they were mocking him. But here Christ is now taking on our curse on his own head. Man, I love that. The high priest would take the sins of Israel and he would act like they were in his hands and he would lay them upon the head of a goat and discharge the sins of Israel upon the head of that goat. That's so beautiful to me how they literally took the picture that the Bible says is our sins and made a crown out of it because it rules over us. You are ruled over by your own sinful nature. Okay? You like to say, well, bless God, I'm righteous and I don't do that stuff. You like to say that, but the truth of it is, it's still there. And Christ took that woven together, looks like DNA, thorns, and had that put on his head, and he bore that, and he went and hung it on the cross. That God took the things that were against us and nailed them to his cross. So that when he died, they died with him. I like it. Somebody say amen. I just want you to get into this, all right? So here we have a crown of thorns and it's on Christ's head. And that's showing his defeat now over what you and I could not defeat. And I'll show you a verse in the Bible that'll make that obvious to you, okay? Now I want you to think about just this crown of thorns, okay? So anyway, turn to Mark chapter 4. Turn to Mark chapter 4. The Bible's going to illustrate this for us further. Mark chapter 4, verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns. Such as hear the word, and I want you to count the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. It was in Genesis 3 that God put thorns into the world. Okay? And 3 represents the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Who in here is guilty of that? Say amen. And if you didn't say amen, then you're guilty of the pride of life. Not a sinner. Yeah, you are. Okay? Anyway, so he said that the thorns represent the cares of this world. That means that, I shouldn't do this. You didn't sit and start crying at the Whitney funeral yesterday. Oh, she's gone. That's sad that she died. And I'm not saying it's sad that her life started out in church and ended with alcohol and drugs and self-abuse and everything else that she was a part of. That's sad. And there's a verse in here that talks about that. Okay? But if you're more concerned over that than you are the things of God, then you've got the cares of the world deeply embedded in you. Okay? And they will be a thorn in your flesh. I promise you. And you know what they're going to do? Listen to this now. I'm just going to teach this as I go. Thorns have a way of choking out what we planted. That's what God was showing Adam. He was showing Adam, not only are you going to have to plant the seed, you're going to have to work to plant the seed, but 2 weeks after you tilled that ground up, you're going to have to go out there and work it again. And then just about every day, you're going to have to go out there in that field and you're going to have to work and you're going to have to work just to be able to get that crop to come up. It's going to take you work every single day. You see, before sin, Adam had it easy. When he got hungry, he walked by a tree and went and pulled it off and ate it, and he was fed. That's all he had to do. In fact, if he didn't want to, he could get a little playful with it. Didn't even have to pull it off. Just eat it right off. You know, he didn't have to do anything. It was easy for him. And because he sinned, now listen to this now, because we sin, life is going to be hard. Life is going to be hard. That's all there is to it. You're going to go through some stuff that you would rather die than go through because of sin. And it's going to take work. And I'm going to say some things this morning. If I ever shut up and get to saying what I want to say, I'm going to say some things that might make somebody mad this morning. I can't help it. I'm just going to give you the Bible. There's a reason why we don't have 500 people sitting trying to crowd everybody out of here this morning And this is one of the things I'm going to say this morning, so you just might as well get ready for it, all right? But thorns will have a way of choking out the good things that God has done in your life. And don't you ever forget it. And don't you sit and think about somebody else out in the world. Oh, just pray for so-and-so out in the world. Boy, I'm talking to you this morning. I'm standing here talking to you this morning. And God's already preached it to me a dozen times. And I'm going to preach it to you this morning. And so anyway, the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now I don't care how you read the Bible, if it's unfruitful, it's cut down and cast into the fire. You mark that down. If it's unfruitful, it is cut down and it is cast into the fire. That's exactly what the Bible says. How many of you, that's where you want to end up? That is not where, I don't want to end up in the fire. And as long as I maintain this idea in my mind that I still, after all these years, don't want to go to hell, that's good. That is a driving factor in my life. I didn't want to go to hell yesterday. I don't want to go today. I'm fixing to get on a plane, put my life in some pilot's hands. I hope he's sober. Amen. And I hope he's narrow-minded too. Amen. I hope he knows what the straight and narrow is. Amen. And so anyway, but I don't want to go to hell. Amen. You don't either. You don't either. So quit listening to rock and roll music. Amen? Amen. You know what? Let's pray, and I'm going to just keep reading Scripture. Heavenly Father, Lord, help me to work through this, God. Help me to say what you want me to say. Lord, you know I'm in a hurry, and God, I don't like being like that. Lord, give me peace and settle me down. And Lord, let me be a blessing now to these people and all those that are watching. Lord, help me to be a blessing today. And Lord, Father, just thank you, Lord, for blessing me the way you have. You've been very good to me. And God, I'm always aware of my thorns. And thank you, Lord, for giving me grace. Bless and honor your word, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm just kind of laying a very quick foundation for you. And then we'll go through the Bible and talk about some of these thorns, and then we'll get out of here, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There's a doctrine, an ideology that goes around that John, it says that once you get truly saved and born again and the Spirit's in your life, then you're instantly sanctified. And from that point forward as a Christian, you will never sin again. I respectfully disagree with that. I do not believe the Bible bears that out to be. Now, the inward man in me does not sin. What God has put inside of here is it does not sin. And one of these days, when these thorns are gone, okay, when these thorns are gone, and you know what? This world can have them. Okay? They can have all of what's left of me they want to, because I won't need it anymore. Okay? And one of these days when this is gone, then I'll be free from all of that. Okay? But it's just like I mentioned in Sunday school, we're fighting enemies this morning. We're fighting these thorns. We're fighting the enemies. We're fighting death. One of these days, the fight's going to be over with, and God's going to give us grace. But I want you to notice this. Not even Paul was exempt from this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. The Bible says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. And let me just say this to you. God has blessed me by helping me see a lot of things in the Bible. But that's not just me. How many of you got one of these? Say amen. Did you know that you have in your hand right now an abundance of revelations? And I want to tell you something. You know what? You know how we are as fundamentalists, John? We get full of pride and we get cocky over, oh, bless God, we got the King James Bible. Well, bless God, we believe this. Bless God, we believe that. And what we'll do is we'll get full of pride. And Paul said, what is it that thou hast not been given? In other words, you ain't got nothing but what God gave you something. And see, you know what? You know what God will do with this pastor. God will do with this church. God will do it with my family. God will do it with all of us. God will keep us from getting full of pride. He will keep us from getting full of pride over what we have an abundance of revelations right here. As far as I'm concerned, we've got more than practically any church in this town has got, because we'll still stick with this old book. Now, there's a few others that are still around in this area that they'll still hang on to it. And they've got an abundance of revelations. And God will keep us from being so full of pride. Let me show you what he said. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. Who gave it to him? God did. A thorn in the flesh. And then look what he called it. A messenger of Satan to buffet me. Paul was buffeted. He was beat up. He was abused and bruised and striped and everything like that by this thorn that he had in his flesh. And look what he said. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord how many times? Look there. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, the lust of others. I mean, it's all there. Three times. God, take this out of me. How many had... Now, I want you to stop for just 1 minute, and I want you to think of maybe two or three thorns that you know for a fact that you have in your life. Okay? And I want you to think about them. And I want to say this, too. Okay? And I don't want anybody misinterpret, misunderstand what I'm saying. Okay? In some cases, a spouse can be a thorn. In some cases, even a spouse can be a thorn to us. Okay? And you may have prayed, God, take this away from me. It's okay to laugh. I just don't want to hear you say amen, because that'd be you. Okay? Everybody's got a thorn. And you know what they are. You know what you have begged God to remove out of you. Don't you? Everybody do this. Okay? And say, God, please take this away. And God, listen, I reassert my doctrine. My doctrine is, if you're born again and you ask God for something, He will never tell you no. Never. Never will He tell you no. He may not give you what you ask for, but He will give you something better. But He'll never tell you no. So look what He said. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, no! No, He didn't say that, did He? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know what God was telling Paul? I won't do what you asked me to do, Paul, because even Paul admitted that he didn't know what to pray for. And I don't care if you call Joyce Myers this afternoon and say, Bible says you don't know what to pray for, Joyce. I dare you. I won't, but I dare you. Okay? Paul didn't know what to pray for. He asked God to remove the thorn. He didn't know what he was asking. God said, I've got something better for you, Paul. I'm going to leave it in there. And I'm going to give you grace. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I heard one of these TV guys say, God wants us strong. No. No. God wants His children weak. You know why? So He can be strong. You see, when we get strong, what do strong people do? Right? Right, Bradley? My shirt come untucked when I did that. Strong people wear skinny shirts. They're full of pride. They're full of pride. I'm just picking on you, okay? He's not like that, all right? Okay? They're full of pride over their strength. And God, He will not have you that way. He will keep you weak. Why? So that He can be strong in you, so that He gets the praise and you don't. Okay? And so anyway, so Paul said most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm just telling you, that's what God said. Okay? Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Why? Because Christ is strong in Him. Okay? So, I mean, that's just, it's all about your sin and it's about things in your life. Now let's look at who they are. Let me just read some scriptures to you. Then I'm going to move through this kind of fast. So just kind of take note here. And if you want me to email you my notes, I will. All right? Judges chapter 2. Listen to this. Judges chapter 2, verse 2. You remember when the Israelites were going into the promised land, and God had told Joshua, all of those people in there are my enemies. I want you to get them all out, rid everybody from the land. I don't want to see a single one of them left in there. And Joshua went in, and is that what they did? No, that's not what they did. They left some of them in there. And I want you to notice what God said. Judges chapter 2, verse 2. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. What? Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. Now I'm just kind of going through a list right now of some things that the Bible says are thorns. And number one, the people that you've made a league with will be thorns in your side. And I'm going to say worldly activities, worldly crowds. I'm going to say belonging to earthly institutions that is something besides the church of God. I'm talking about your philanthropic organizations, and I'm talking about your leagues and your societies and everything else. You know what you're doing? You're joining yourself in with lost people. And in some cases, you're calling them brother, and they're not your brother. Okay? You'd be mad at me if you want to. I'm just telling you how it is from the Bible. God said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. But you've decided that you'd rather join up and hook up with them, and whatever they say goes. And I will say this, that could include, and I'm not preaching against belonging to a trade union, but do not let that trade union tell you who to vote for. Do not let that trade union determine your politics or your philosophy or your anything else. Just because they say, well, we're supporting candidate so-and-so because they're for the working man. You say, you know what? They can say that all they want to, but I have a right to vote for who I want to. And you stand up for the Lord. Or that, listen, you know what that, and I've seen it. I've seen it in this church. Those people, those leagues that you're hooked in with, they will be a thorn in your flesh. And you know what? God is so wise. He tells us this stuff, not because he just hates us and wants to see us miserable all the time. He's watching out for our own good. Because I'll be up here preaching the Word of God to you and trying to teach you biblical principles and the King James Bible going in. Yeah, I mean all the, and you know what? Your thorns that you hooked up with are going to choke that out. That's good preaching. You get it. You stop right now and you think of your earthly affiliations. And if they have a dominating effect over you and how you think and how you do things and how your lifestyle goes, it's ungodly as sin, and those thorns are in your flesh and they're in the process of choking out the Bible in your life. And I've seen it happen in this church. I've had people in this church that I knew for a fact that if I preached against certain political candidates, I was in trouble. I was in big trouble. And I want to tell you something. Barack Obama's the president. I have respect for the office. He does something stupid, I'm going to say something about it. If whoever else gets in the White House, I don't care if they're Republican, Democrat, that doesn't impress me anymore. I'm not impressed. If they get in there and do something stupid, I'm going to say something about it. Okay, governor of the state of Missouri does something stupid, I'm going to say something about it. The prophets of the Old Testament always had to go and stand before the king and say, King, you're not doing right. You know, I don't like politics in the church. Well, then go across town over here. Watch out for your earthly affiliations. Okay? 2 Samuel 23, verse 6. Listen to this now. I'm going to tell you why you cannot remove your own thorns. And this would be so simple. Okay? 2 Samuel 23, verse 6, the Bible says, but the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away. Sons of Belial is basically anybody that's lost. If you're here, if you're lost, you are a son of Satan. Automatic. Automatic. Okay? You need to be a son of God. That means you need to be reborn. Born again. Twice born. Okay? But sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away. Now listen to this. Because they cannot be taken with hands. Now think about the simplicity of that. Let's say that there was a crown of thorns sticking in your head. It's thorns. You know what you can't do? You can't reach over there with your hands and When we were running through the woods, John, and we got in the sticker bushes, we couldn't just go, get that off of me. You had to be real careful. You had to and there wasn't any place that you could touch them where there wasn't a thorn on there. I mean, when you got in them, you were in them. Okay? You cannot take out your own sinfulness with your own hands. You can't do it. And most of what's coming out of most pulpits in this country and all over the world is, well, if you just think the right thoughts and say the right things and do this, then you can take sin out of your life all day. They're lying. And God just illustrates that for us. He said, they're like thorns, and you cannot take them out with your own hands. Whew. Well, that's good. Jeremiah 12, verse 13. I want you to listen to this. It's going to get rough, all right? Jeremiah 12, verse 13. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. Your children, you're going to reap from your children what you sowed. How many of you know that? Boy, I don't like that. You thought, listen, you're not raising little angels. You're not raising little haloed winged angels. You're raising little devils that need the rod of correction in their life. And if mom and daddy's not careful, and you know what this really, you know, when I read this, you know what this, how this got me? Mom and daddy, you want those kids to turn out right and to live godly and this and that and the other, then mom and dad needs to think about what they're doing. Well, bless God, I've just sowed wheat. No, you're gonna reap thorns. Mom and daddy needs to think about what they're doing in their home and in their lives. Okay? Because the thorns are going to choke. You sit in church and nod your head and say amen. And in your kids who are sitting in this building right now, the thorns in their life are choking out the words that are coming out of my mouth. Our sins are consequences in our children. Oh, let's see here. Where can I go with this now? Hosea chapter 2, verse 6. Listen to this. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. I want you to think about when I was a kid, we had paths in the woods. Okay? We knew where to go. There was an old cemetery out on the next hill behind my house in the woods from the 1800s. I used to go down there all the time, and I had a path. It was just really neat because there was somebody that had died in the Civil War that was buried in that little cemetery there in the woods. Nobody really knew about it except those kids in that neighborhood. And I had a worn-out path. I'd go up there all the time just to, you know, look at it every now and then. I had a path through the woods. That's been 30-some-odd years ago. If I were to go back to those same woods now, what would I see, Sterling? I wouldn't see that. I wouldn't be able to find that path, would I? Okay? Because what happened is everything grew up over it and choked it out. And that path is gone. The Bible says, seek ye out the old paths and walk in them. And this is the old path right here. This Bible is the old path. It's the old King James Bible. Somebody say amen. It is the ancient landmarks and it is the old path. And what happens through years of neglect, the thorns grow up over the pathway and you can't find it anymore. And I want you to listen to me, especially you young people. You're sitting here listening to your pastor and trying to teach you the old paths and to walk the old ways. If you're not careful, you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to go out and sow my little wild oats and do whatever I want to. When I turn old and decrepit like Pastor Mike is, then I'll start coming to church. I wouldn't count on it. I wouldn't count on you coming back 30 years from now and finding those old paths still there. That's good preaching. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, thus said the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Isn't that interesting? That two out of the four places that Christ mentioned in the parable of the seed and the sower, well, number one was stony ground and the other two was thorny ground. And he was referencing Jeremiah chapter 4. Number one, break up the fallow ground Get the stones out of your heart. Get your hard-heartedness and your hard-headedness and your little pet doctrines out of the way so that God can teach you something. When I got into this ministry of studying prophecy, God said, Mike, I'm going to take my hoe, I'm going to take my plowshare, and I'm going to plow up some ground in your life, and I want you to forget about everything you've learned. I want you to forget about it. Forget about everything you've learned. And I'm going to break up some hard ground in your life, and I'm going to plant some seed in there. I'd rather have it that way than to follow a dead denomination or a dead doctrine or this and that and that. I would rather have it that way than any other way. Amen. Okay? And where was I going with that? Sow not among thorns. God's not giving me anything on that, so I'm going to move on. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 8. Listen to this. That which bears thorns and briars is rejected. I love this. They put a crown of thorns on Christ and hung him on the cross, and Israel walked away. So we're not going to have anything to do with him. He was taking our shame and our reproach and our rejection. He was taking that on himself so that instead of you and I being rejected at the judgment seat of Almighty God, now we are accepted and taken in as sons of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. I want to turn Pentecostal on you so bad this morning. I want to shout and wave. I need old Hanky and just wave it around in the air. Amen. Over what Christ has done for me by wearing that crown on his head. He took that away from me. That should have been me up there. Amen. It's nigh unto cursing whose end it is to be burned. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Thus we speak. Now I'm going to close with this. I got 5 minutes. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Turn there, hurry. You've got 3 seconds. Charge. Proverbs 24. I'm going to say something some people in here ain't going to like. Okay? Here it is. While you're turning there, while you're not looking at me. Proverbs 24, we're going to start in verse 30. Okay? I don't have anybody in mind. If you have a dirty house, it is because you are too lazy to clean it. If you have a dirty car, it is because you are too lazy to clean it. If you have a dirty room, now I am thinking of somebody. Multiple people. If you have a dirty room, it is because you are too lazy to clean it. If you have a dirty desk, it is because you are too lazy to clean it. If you have a dirty office, it is because you are too lazy to clean it. If the weeds are growing up around your house, it is because you are too stinking lazy to get out there and either pull them or weed whip them. If your grass is growing too high, it is because you are too lazy to go out there and do anything about it. Now, if that scalds you, I can't help it. Somebody needs to call it for like it is. I mean, how is it that you can tell lazy people from people that work? Just drive by their house. Just drive by their house. Take a look at their yard. If their yard's kept, it's because somebody kept it. If the grass is down low, it's because somebody cut it. If the weeds are not standing up as high as the front window of the living room, it's because somebody got out there and had to put a bandana around their head to catch the sweat, and somebody had to go out there and cut all those weeds down. And I think that's something we ought to teach our kids, and not raise them to be lazy bums. You say amen to that. Why is our work going to China and Mexico? Because those people will work. They said, well, we got to have these illegals in our country because they'll do jobs Americans won't do. You know what? That's our problem then. If we're too good to go out and cut grass, there's something wrong with us. We deserve to have all of our jobs taken away from us if we're too lazy to get out and let sweat run down our face. Something wrong with that. Why am I preaching that? You're there in Proverbs 24. Let me say Proverbs 15 first. The way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns. Now Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful. You know what a slothful is? You ever seen a sloth? they move about like this. Honey, hand me the remote. Lazy. There's something wrong with you. You know it? You know how I can preach that? This man knows me. When I married his daughter, I was lazy. Didn't want to work. Man. He had misgivings about me for years. And I want to tell you what, God would not let me pastor a church while I had the attitude of laziness. He would not let me do it. And God made me go out and work with my hands and sweat. I didn't weigh pounds after I got married. In fact, at one point I was down to 185. They called me slim at work. Can you believe that? That's because I worked and I had muscles and I carried stuff and I lifted stuff and I worked 12 hours a day in the heat. And that's what I crawled in attics until you absolutely would puke being up in an attic that late in the day. That's what I did. And that's how God made me feed my family that way. And I woke up and said, you know what? I can't be lazy and have this responsibility. And that is something we have lost in this country, and the youthful men in this country grown up thinking they can lay around and make babies all day long and leave it up to somebody else to raise them while they sit around with their hat on backwards and their pants pulled down playing video games all day long. If you don't like that, I can't help it. We're sick in this country with laziness, and that laziness has moved inside the church. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm going to say this nicely to you because I love you. You better not expect me to show up at your house to pull weeds. I ain't doing it. I'm not pulling your weeds. I'm not tilling your garden. I'm not hoeing up your ground. And I'm not going to get the thorns out of your life. They're your thorns. You deal with it. Oh, look at that. This is why we don't have 500 people trying to crowd in this place. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And you know what Solomon said? He said, I looked at that and I got wisdom from it. And God just draws real simple illustrations in the Bible for us just to let us know that you can drive up and down the streets of Festus or go around Jefferson County and you say, well, you know, they're poor. Yeah, but their arms work. Just because you ain't got no money, that don't mean you have to be trashy too. Amen? In fact, probably why you ain't got no money is because you won't get out and do anything. And I know I'm talking about the earthly realm, but earthly realm is always indicative of the spiritual nature that is inside of us. And you moan and complain and groan because of the sinfulness in your life and the thorns that have grown up in your life, and you won't get up and do something about it, you lazy thing. Get up and do something. Amen? Don't blame me because your grass ain't been mowed. Don't blame me. Don't blame the deacon. Don't blame the board. Don't blame the church just because thorns have grown up in your life and you're not willing to get up and do something about it. See how simple that is? So you just drive up and down the road. You stop to look at somebody's house. They got trash laying all over the place. Auto parts scattered everywhere. Grass growed up that they won't touch. Looks like a junk, looks like Fred Sanford's yard. And you just stop and look at that, and you're not supposed to judge. You just look at the yard. That's laziness. Pure laziness. You know what? Bend over and pick it up. Take the sword, beat it into a plow shear or a hoe or a mattock the way it was intended to, and cut her down. Amen? You don't want them nasty thorns choking up and choking out your house, do you? You don't want them ruining your marriage, do you? You don't want them ruining your kids. You don't want to see that stuff happen. Go to work. Amen? Go to work. Get up and do something about it instead of blaming everybody else. That's another thing. I'm done. That's another thing wrong with America. Everybody's got somebody else to blame. Oh, President Obama, he's doing this. All the Congress is doing this. You know what? It's your fault. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I love you. Listen, I'm not giving you anything that God has not given me double. I promise you I'm not. I've had to learn all my lessons the hard way. And I'm telling you how it is because I love you. I'm telling you how it is because I love you. Because it is this way in me. I know what my thorns are. I don't like them. And I'm glad that God has given me grace. But I'm not about for a second to just drop down and be lazy and let them take over. God has given me a lot, and I realize that. And I have way too much to lose. And if it takes work, it takes work. But that's what I'll do. And that's what I want you to do too. Amen? So hopefully you're not too lazy to stand to your feet. If they was in wheelchairs, they'd stand up. Amen. We ain't sitting down on that one. I love you. God bless you. You take that message home and you think about it. Start going through your start going through your video cabinet looking for thorn bushes. Start going through your iPod looking for thorn bushes. Amen. Start going through your internet activity looking for thorn bushes. Start going through your TV channels looking for thorn bushes. Amen. Start looking at who your buddies are looking for thorns. You think about that, all right? Your pastor loves you. You pray for me and Lisa while we're gone. You pray for our family. You come be here tonight. I promise you this man's going to give you the word of God tonight, okay? It'll be better than what I preach this morning, all right? Amen. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins.
We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.